I'm Chris Reback. This is Political Wire Conversations. On our next stop of deep dives into key states for midterms 2014, Louisiana. To put it mildly, there's always something colorful going on there. At the moment, highlights include a kissing congressman stepping down, a former imprisoned governor stepping up, and of course, one of the most closely watched races in the battle for Senate control. Throw in key issues like energy, the coastal cleanup, health care, and more, and Louisiana becomes an incredibly important and obvious place for us to visit. Our host on the Bayou, John McGinnis. Longtime political reporter and author. Currently, he's publisher of the must-read LawPolitics.com. John, thanks for joining me. I mean, is it just me, or if the news is slow in Louisiana politics, just wait till the afternoon. Something's bound to come up.
Yeah, that's the way it was yesterday morning when we heard that Vance McAllister wouldn't be running again. Not totally unexpected, but just kind of came out of the blue after he came back from Easter vacation.
Now, he went against your advice. I saw your column where you were advising him to stay in the race. Obviously,
I was advising him not to step down.
Not to step down. That's right.
Governor Jindal wanted him to resign immediately, and I thought, you know, the poor people of that district, they don't deserve to have two congressmen quit on them in one term, because McAllister got elected because Rodney Alexander, his predecessor, resigned midterm to take a state job.
Yeah.
So, you know, so serve out your term and then make up your mind. So he decided he's not going to run again. So
And was it some word that perhaps it was money? Do you think it was money, or do you think it was it just too much pressure?
Combination, he maybe was not as flush as he was kind of made out to be when he kind of popped on the scene. He is a successful in the oil field, but he works for another company and he owns a company. But the long and short of it is he took out a big loan to put money into the race, and so he can't raise anymore. He can't raise money now. He can't raise 15 cents. And so if he wanted to run for re-election and had competition, he'd have to go back to the well again. So obviously money had something to do with that, and of course, what, you know, the desires of his family. So he probably made the right decision.
Let's turn to the Senate race. Mary Landrieu has won three races for U.S. Senate. She won the last two by increasing margins. Her family name is well known in Louisiana. Her father was mayor of New Orleans. Her brother is mayor of New Orleans. Why is she in danger of losing her seat?
Well, she's a Democrat, and she voted with the president on the health care bill and other bills. And so she's been, in the sense that this is a nationalized election, that people are looking at this in the terms of Democrat and Republican, and she's in real trouble. She's not seen being as too liberal for the state, but she is a Democrat, and that health care vote is hanging out there. So, the more this is a national race, the more trouble she's going to be in. You know, more it turns on national issues. But if she's won in the past by it being a race, a more personally oriented race, and then people, even if they're not crazy about Mary Landrieu, they recognize she's worked hard for the state, and she's in a position now to really do some good for the state's biggest industry, oil and gas, as a chair of the Energy Committee. So those things are, this is kind of a competing forces. Are we going to make a decision based on who's going to be in control of the Senate, or who's proven that she will work for all of Louisiana?
And how are things feeling on that? I mean, you just summed up in one answer the core of the race down there. How's it
feel? I think the key is going to be how people feel in November, how you personally feel about the Affordable Care Act when you walk in to vote. Now, all the TV commercials tell you, the outside groups attacking Landrieu, saying that it's really bad for Louisiana. But I'm curious as to how people feel. How does it individually affect you? How does it affect your... Because most people who go to vote are going to have private insurance on Medicare. They're not going to be on there. For those who were uninsured and have it now because of that, they probably would vote for Landrieu, but they're a minority. It's the majority is the people who already have insurance, and it's not politically how you feel about Obamacare. It's how it personally affects you. Now, sometime in September, the insurance companies jack up everybody's premiums, and Medicare has all these new co-pays, people will be angry. But if not, my guess is that as much as Republicans want to make Obamacare the real issue, politically it may be, but in people's lives, I question how much it will be. So if, you know, if folks aren't walking into the voting booth mad about it, then I think she's got a lot better chance.
Politically, is the issue the care part or the Obama part of Obamacare? I mean, he's not so popular.
I think the Obama part. You know, the president is still unpopular, very unpopular in Louisiana. He started out, you know, maybe close to 50-50 on his approval rating, but it quickly went south. And so now he's but, you know, my thought would be we're entering the last 2 years. Traditionally, that's supposed to be bad for a second-term president for his party, but it may just be that people are getting over all their anger somewhat over the president, and it's not as much going to rub off on those people who have been close to him. Now, Landry has been trying to put all the distance she can between her and him, but she has to be careful about that, too. She still has to, you know, the president is still very popular with African-American voters who make up almost between a quarter and a third of the vote. She needs a good turnout from them, and so she can't be, you know, bashing the president, certainly, or putting that much distance between her and them. So it's a delicate balancing act for her. But
now, you spoke earlier as well about the personalized nature of her previous wins and I guess of politics in Louisiana generally. Is she still liked? I mean, how do people feel about her personally? And she's got that family history.
I was thinking about that before you called. You know how it is with a large family. The firstborn daughter kind of ends up being a little mother, right? She has to take care of the rest of the brood. Well, that's Mary Landry. She's the oldest of 8 or 9 kids in the Landry family. And she's kind of been that way in Louisiana. She's someone who feel like, oh, you're not always happy about her, but you know she's looking out for you. She's a big sister. And that kind of sometimes a grudging respect for her has carried her through. People just never get that angry at her. They may have some real differences, and I guess I've seen more anger at her now after the Affordable Care Act than before, but still, there's an element there that she's trying to do what's best for you. And she sells, you know, and as chairman of the Energy Committee, she certainly is in a position to do that in South Louisiana.
And that was going to be my next question, this chair that she has of the Energy Committee. I mean, are people really kind of rallied around that? That's a big deal, obviously, for Louisiana.
Well, it's a big deal for the higher up you get in politics. But the man on the street, well, I'm not sure how much seniority and, you know, power, clout in Washington doesn't always translate into people's enthusiasm.
But does it translate into jobs in Louisiana? I mean, energy, coastal cleanup, all that.
Right. Well, sure. You know, people feel like she's doing something good for the state, and she's in a position to do more. So that's all working in a favor. What I'm saying is that is it enough to overcome any anger toward her or get people really excited to go out and vote for her, you know, so she can keep her chair of the Energy Committee? No, I think it helps her with fundraising and with just a general feeling that she's in a good position to help Louisiana, because Louisiana has lost so much seniority in the last decade, losing John Breaux, Billy Tozan, Bennett Johnston, that now there's a glimmer of hope of having someone and having that kind of power again, that Russell Long type power again, that was always so good for the state. Question is, do people care about that as much now as they do? I mean, the last couple of elections they seem not to have, but that may be something helping her. I guess the other interesting fact about it, what's really going to decide this race is, you know, Mary Landry cannot lose in November. She can lose in December. She's running against 3 Republicans in what we call an open primary, or some people call a jungle primary. Everybody runs together. Well, there's 3 Republicans running besides Bill Cassidy and 2 others who are more conservative than him. And, you know, possibly Landry could come over 50 points and win the race in November, but she can't. You know, Bill Cassidy's not going to make it to 50 when he's got 2 other Republicans siphoning votes off of him. So if it runs into a December election and, say, the control of the U.S. Senate is going to rest with that Louisiana election in December. I think that's bad news for Landry, because then it really becomes a nationalized race. So, but say if the balance of the Senate is already decided one way or the other, and a December runoff in Louisiana is not going to change things, then I believe that will help Landry a lot. People will be thinking, well, what's going to be best for Louisiana?
So tell me about Bill Cassidy, representative from the 6th Congressional District. There's a lot of action in that district, and we can talk about that and, you know, later in this conversation.
Sure.
But tell me about Cassidy and how he's viewed down there.
Yeah, he's not well known yet. He hasn't gone on TV and introduced himself to the rest of the state. But he has a good story to tell. He's a doctor who's worked in the charity hospital system here and is a LSU professor. He's a smart guy but he has a moderate edge, or he had that coming up in politics, and I guess that stirs some distrust on the right and by the Tea Party and those folks who think he's not conservative enough. But he certainly has he's raised money and he has the backing of the Republican establishment. And I don't see these other two guys who are running against him. They're not going to catch him. So they may weigh him down some. But faces up in a runoff against Landry, that's going to be a real question. Do people get enthusiastic about him? And I guess that's kind of what the rap you hear on Bill Cassidy, is that he just doesn't rouse people's emotions as much as you would like. Well, of course, that's good and bad. I mean, Vance McAllister roused people's emotions. See where that got you. So maybe just someone who's smart and calm and cool and has, like I say, a good story to tell, being a doctor. And not just a doctor, a rich doctor, but someone who's been a doctor in the charity hospital system in Louisiana. That's those things work in his favor. But he needs to kind of come out and introduce himself, so more people around the state will know him and like him. He's been relying on these out of state third party groups to be running ads attacking Landry, because he's not had to step up yet. But a time's coming when he'll need to do that.
Have you seen him speak? How does he do?
Yeah, he can get a little walkish. He can get a little deep in the weeds sometimes. so I think he needs to be ready to deliver on that standpoint when he gets up before it starts.
Do people care that he's
giving his voice?
Do people care that he is not Louisiana born and raised? He happens to have been raised in the congressional district where I was raised, and I know
he was born there. I mean, he makes the point that he got out as quick as his parents could get him there. I think he wasn't 1 year. I think he was less than 1 year old. Finally, the family moved to Baton Rouge. That's why it's not something that people don't know who he is. But you can just look at him and hear him and think, well, you know, he's not from down the bayou. he can certainly overcome that.
And what about Cassidy around the Affordable Care Act? The fact that he's a doctor, what's his view on it, and is his opinion having greater weight because of his medical background? How's that playing down there?
That remains to be seen. Right now, conservatives have, even the Democrats have pointed out that he has favored some kind of health care system in Louisiana, or some private, some kind of a universal coverage. I think it's a little bit of a balancing act for him too, to be able to criticize the Affordable Care Act, but then at the same time explain how he would do it differently. So that remains to be seen how that works out.
Well, that's a bit of a problem that Republicans have had, in general, is, criticizing, which is fine, but then, proposing something, different that also can...
One of the big issues down here is that he has echoed Governor Bobby Jindal's refusal to accept the expansion of Medicaid. That's an issue I think could be something that Landry and the Democrats could use to work up some anger among some Democrats, say... That Cassidy's he's in the same boat there with Jindal, of not allowing the working poor to get beyond Medicaid, and that'd be interesting to see if that dynamic works in turning out more people who you know, who are running short who go and vote. But I don't know if that's going to be the. It's a good vote. They vote for Landry, but it's a question of getting those people to the polls.
Now you mentioned a moment ago advertisements already. What's the flow of outside money? Has the PAC money? Has the outside money? If this is a nationalized race, is it flowing in there?
It's been huge. The Americans for Prosperity have been advertising for at least 6 months. They started before Christmas. In fact, they even kind of forced Landry to open up her checkbook and start running some ads before Christmas, too, to defend herself. So that's been the big element. And then there's been the Senate Majority PAC for the Democrats who have come in and been attacking Cassidy. So it's been all negative ads starting a year before the election. So a lot of ad fatigue already setting in. People are kind of tired of hearing the same, and they're because all on the same theme as far as Landry goes. So my question is whether that emotion can be sustained.
How powerful is the Tea Party down there? Can Cassidy, you know, if it does go to a runoff, let's say, and the other two, Hollis and I guess Meness, drop out or, you know, lose in that first round on election day. Can Cassidy bring together the Tea Party and establishment?
That's the big question, Chris. Assuming Cassidy's going to run first in November, does he turn around and 28 days later, will it be the runoff election, can he get those really conservative people on the right excited about him and enough so to come back out and vote again? That's why if it's a nationalized election, if it's a, you know, the real big theme of getting rid of Landry and Republicans getting control, that might bring him out. But if it's not, if it's just a personality thing between Landry and Cassidy, it may be hard to generate that kind of enthusiasm. On the other hand, it may be difficult for Landry. The African Americans have turned out in the last election she ran. She was on the ballot with the president. Oh, it wasn't president then, but without Obama on the ballot, is there going to be the black turnout that she needs? So she's hoping for some competition going on in some of these congressional races that may help bring out that vote too.
Is Bobby Jindal running for president?
Yeah, I assume he is. My theory is that he's really running for vice president, but you don't yet to run for president to do that. I just don't see that he had gained the kind of traction, but to really be a top tier presidential contender. But he's going to. People just assume down here he is running for president. I think he'll be entering the primaries. But his ultimate goal may be to be the guy that, if a moderate is nominated like Jeb Bush, would he be an acceptable running mate? You know, who is more conservative and ready to go on the attack, but be also be prepared.
Why is his popularity running lower these days in Louisiana?
Well, he's been through some tough fiscal years. He came in and cut taxes pretty strongly in his first year. He didn't really want to, but the legislature got ahead of him, and he went ahead and cut these taxes, so it kind of cut out his revenue base. So then when the economy went backwards, he's had to cut higher education and the public hospitals a whole lot. And year after year, you know, six straight years, you know, they started to wear thin on people. They got pretty tired of it. And so he's really lost popularity. And then the sight of him being out of sight or traveling so much around the country, that's been mixed. It started out, people liked that a lot, the idea that we have a governor and you can go to other states. But then after a while, it starts to wear thin when he seems like he's gone so much and things have been, slow to recover in Louisiana. But they are coming around more economically, and I think economic development is something that he will boost the most. I'm not sure how much he had to do with it, or as opposed to the price of natural gas. But, a good economy is helping to restore some of his popularity that had sunk.
Is the coastal cleanup and the lawsuits down there, is that still, you know, front page? Is that still something that folks are...
That's the big issue right now, these a levee board that sued 97 oil companies over coastal erosion that kind of set them at odds with the governor. Only the governor is supposed to do things like that, not some board. And the cleanup is continuing after the BP oil spill. That's one where agenda was real tough on a oil company. Some of the money is flowing from that, not just for cleanup, that's ongoing, because there's still effects on sea life, but a lot of the money is being used toward coastal restoration and preventing coastal erosion, and that's a huge issue with a big price tag in the state.
And Senator David Vitter has already said he's going to run for governor. I guess getting caught on videotape, kissing, that's not so good for McAllister. But Vitter has survived his own scandal, right? With the
it takes more than one sex scandal to bring down a Louisiana politician. And he got through. He got through his first one. I say okay. I think it's passing now. So it's just he hadn't really faced up to a real strong competition since then. So it's going to be a real interesting governor's race in 2015.
Okay, and that segues perfectly to where I want to close in terms of colorful characters. Is Edwin Edwards going to be the next representative from the 6th District?
I don't think he's going to make it. He's going to, I predict he'll make a runoff. He's the only Democrat anybody knows of, and there's like six or seven Republicans running for that seat, the open seat. So given that split deal of Republicans, I'd say he'd make the runoff, but every poll shows that matched up against just about any Republican, he's going to lose. It's a district that's only maybe 20-21% African-American. It's the Baton Rouge area where he was probably least popular while he was governor, just because of all the media coverage. So it's not like he's running in the Cajun heartland or in the New Orleans area. So it's not as good an environment for him. And people think he's an 86-year-old man, wants to be a congressman. That's tough enough for a 36-year-old man. But Eben Edwards does inject into the race something that's really been missing in Louisiana politics in the last 15 years or so, and that's personality. He's got that, and people respond to that, and so there's going to be a lot of people who are going to vote for him just on the basis of that.
I mean, is it viewed with some seriousness, or is there quite a bit of eye rolling going on?
There's quite a bit of eye rolling going on, but it's a little. Joking too, and also people consider the stakes almost now, considering what people think of Congress, does it really matter who you send there?
might as well have someone who can reel off killer quotes.
Yeah, exactly. That's some fun, and I think he'll do that for the campaign itself. These forums could be pretty boring with just six or seven Republicans. He's going to add a little life to it.
Well, as funny and humorous and colorful as some of these characters and politics can get in Louisiana, there's also serious stakes. The U.S. Senate control, the Maryland Drew race, Louisiana will be a place to watch, probably not just on Election Day, but very possibly with this jungle primary going into December as well. As we continue to watch, John McGinnis, longtime political reporter and author, currently publisher of the must-read LaPolitics.com. That is LaPolitics.com. John, thank you so much for your time. I'm Chris Reback. This is Political Wire Conversations.